Yo fam, it's been a little old minute. Got a couple updates and a couple wowzer type moments in my own life. We had a trip planned to see some friends in Virginia. They're from Georgia, and we've only known each other online. And as a matter of fact, that relationship started from a mental health hashtag. I was, when I first started this podcast, I was doing a ton of interviews and I wanted to, you know, find people to interview. So I searched mental health and addiction, whatever. I just started DMing people about, hey, would you be on the podcast? And I interviewed a friend, named Heather Parody. And she did all kind of like social media, Unconventional Leaders podcast, which has been going for years. Now she does an NFT podcast. But anyway, I just interviewed her about her story and then almost kind of found out who she was later, you know, after we interviewed. And from there, I ended up joining one of her masterminds and building some community there. My wife, Sarah, ended up hiring her for some back-end entrepreneurial social media type work. And we just built a great friendship. And finally, we scheduled a time to meet. They were going to drive from Georgia. We're driving from Columbus, Ohio. We're going to meet in Virginia. And the night before we're supposed to leave, Austin gets a fever. And boy, is all my, you know, insecurities, defects rile up. You know, it's like, we've had this plan forever. I had a sneaking suspicion that I might get sick. Hashtag I am sick now, but you know, I was taking all these immune system boosters, trying not to get sick. Then my son gets sick, and I'm like, wait, this can't ruin our trip. You know, we've already spent the money. I've had these five. I'm off mode. You know, I'm looking forward to this. And it was like, we're going to get up super early the next day and take off at like 7. And I'm like, all this stuff is just going through my head. And, you know, thank God for process and pumping the brakes and, you know, two heads are better than one, and tools like prayer, meditation, journaling, because we needed all of that to eventually make the decision we did. So we just said, look, let's let the other family know, you know, see what they, you know, have to say. Let's sleep on it. Let's sleep in. Let's figure it out. You know, luckily, their family was like, look, we get sick all the time, and almost every time we go on a trip, our kids get sick, so we're not bothered either way. So we ended up sleeping in, and I remember getting up before everybody else, and I'm like I'm having to do a prayer, meditation, journaling session, because all I'm doing is racing through my head about all the reasons why, you know, I didn't want to miss out, or why we should or shouldn't go, or, you know, whatever. So I did this prayer, meditation, journaling, and through that, it probably took 40 minutes maybe, and I'm like, you know what, I'm accepting either way it is. If we don't go, I've got stuff to do. I've got some other things that are going on this weekend that I can go do. The money spent, whatever, it's fine. It is what it is. I open my journal. I write like one or two lines, and Sarah comes down and goes, you know what, I think we should go. So we hop in the car, we take off. We end up having a great weekend, and I was even, expouting, I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, talking about how I'm not going to get sick, right? Like, my immune system's good. Sarah and Austin had COVID before. I didn't get sick. I'm like, this is going to be great. You know, I'm not worried about me. I'm really worried. I'm going to be really upset if Austin's sick today and then Saturday feels great and we didn't go and all the. Anyway, this is all the stuff I'm going through my mind. Well, guess who ends up getting sick out of everybody? Me. And I'm still sick. It's so annoying. But we ended up having a great time. You know, it's funny. I've known Heather for multiple years now. And not only did I see her this past weekend, I'm going to see her in 2 weeks at VCon, Gary V's big convention. And then I'm going to see her again in September. She's coming to Columbus for some stuff. But anyway, what a great time we had. And yeah, it was a goodie. Now, shifting gears a bit, now I've got some other stuff to share. So I've been listening to one of Sarah's favorite books. It's called Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I'm sure she got more names than that, but Glennon Doyle, Untamed. And I'm about halfway through it, and I've got my, Sarah quotes Glennon all the freaking time. She's up there with like Brene Brown and who's the one that did Eat, Pray, Love and Oprah. And anyway, they're great stuff. Well, now I see why she likes her so much, because it is a great book. It's about women empowerment. That's so general, but owning your feelings and owning your body and owning who you are, and not the untamed part is buying into the story of how women should be, right? They should be calm and docile and loving and of service to others and putting everybody first. You know, if you're from the Christian faith, it's putting your husband first and God first, and almost this, you know, don't feel your feelings, don't get crazy and angry, don't be too loud, etc. Kind of fall in line, this more submissive type behavior. And I fall under that category. In other words, when my logically, I know that doesn't make sense, but instinctually, when I, you know, think about my knee-jerk reactions, I fall into that, you know, that thinking as well, right? Like, there's this, my mom used to call my dad a male chauvinist. Well, I'll tell you what, I got some deep-rooted male chauvinist aspects of myself that I'm not proud of. I'm even kind of embarrassed or ashamed even telling y'all, but I do have that. Like, if I get squeezed, boy, I will think some chauvinist stuff towards the opposite sex. But what was also interesting in my journaling session is a lot of the work that I am doing around my own therapy. I have this obsession's not the right word, but some of my deepest rooted issues are about being a good boy. And Glennon had mentioned that in her book. At the age of 10, what her description was about, that's where all the social pressures started really kicking in about what it means to be a good girl. That's when her eating disorder started. That's when she quit, you know, doing all these things that she loved to do, that were, she felt called to do, to be the person that she was meant to be. She kind of stuffed all that down and, you know, henceforth went this, her trying to be who she thought everyone else wanted her to be. And boy, do I identify with that. This idea of, if I could just be a good enough boy, then you would love me, you would accept me, you would keep me around, right? I'm just now starting to understand this. This is just now starting to come to light for me. And it's so deeply ingrained in everything that I do. You know, I would often roll my, Sarah would read parts of this book to me, and she would say, oh, Glenn said on this podcast, her and Abby. So Glennon left her husband. She had three kids. She left her husband. She wrote this book about, you know, sticking together through thick and thin, even when your husband cheats and all this kind of stuff. And then she left her husband for Abby Wambach. She, you know, came out as a, I guess she came out as a lesbian. I don't know. She never really says that, but she left her husband for this, you know, for Abby, and she, everybody describes it as like, finally Glennon is being the person that she was always meant to be. In other words, rekindling that spark that left her at around 10 years old. And I will tell you what, man, I have got this just visceral reaction when Sarah brings to me like relationship advice from Glennon, because I go, you know, of course you taking relationship advice from Glennon. It's two women in a relationship. You want me to be more feminine and more, you know, emotionally connected and, you know, do all these things and treat you like these two women treat each other. Like, it is unfair. It's unfair for you to compare me and all my defects to, you know, two women in a relationship. Now, that's pretty surface level, right? That is my kind of knee-jerk defensiveness reaction, but I just journal. It was intense. I cried a couple times, but like, I have this deep fear that if I really share how weak I feel or how insecure I feel or how much I crave being good, right? Like your affirmation, your acceptance, or whatever. If I really shared that you wouldn't want me, right? Like I would be too weak to be in this relationship. And I've actually, this has been kind of a reoccurring thing. There's a lot of things that Sarah shares with me or really admires in other people is about leaving one life to go live their purpose, right? Leaving, like, almost, these are my words, but like burning the boats and that this nonconformity part, like, it's like somehow they've been these people, these stories that my wife really loves. And I'd love as well, but like, it's this, they've lived this one way and finally they discovered who they are and they go out and live their passion and be who they are. Somehow I take that personally as if she is going to leave me because I'm not enough, right? So this is how it manifests in my home, right? I did a talk a couple of weeks ago for a family and I got, or for a community group, and I talk about, could what is happening in my home today have to do with past generations? Right? How much of how I feel, how I think, the way I believe, the way I view the world wasn't mine? In other words, these views and these ways of being and feeling and humaning and being a father and a man and a, you know, mother, etc., how they were passed down to me, and only rooted in their my relatives' relationships or my relatives' experiences in life. In other words, our perspective can only come from our experience, and our experience is limited by the breadth and depth of life experience that we have, the travel we've done, where our families come from, were our families affluent, traveled all the time, or, you know, were they poor and kind of insulated? Were they very traditional? Were they very liberal? Like, everybody's views can only be so broad based on past experience. And now, today, it is my opportunity, right? It is. I heard a guy say on a podcast just recently, actually it was on TikTok, and he goes, experiences like passing a baton. Every generation passes, they do work, they have experiences, trauma, they try to be better than the last, etc. They pass a baton to the next generation, and now it's their turn. And the baton has been passed to me, to us, right, to move our generations forward, to move our genetics forward, to make change in the generations past. And it is, I don't know why I say it's shocking. It's shocking, it's embarrassing, it's uncomfortable to look at to see the vulnerability and this drive for acceptance and to be loved, right? When everything I've ever done is try to prove that I am enough, I am right, I am confident, I know what I'm doing, I I've got it all under control, and deep, deep, deep down, I'm just trying to be good. Deep, deep, deep down, I just want to be loved and accepted and told we ain't going nowhere, right? And I even, you know, in my journal, I was talking about, I will often defend behavior that I don't even like in an effort to show the people around me that I am right, I'm strong enough, I'm good enough, that there's a reason why I'm talking like this or being like this or, you know, whatever. And it is, it just feels too scary to be weak, to be uncertain, to be, to cry, to be unsure, right? Because my view of masculinity and humanness, but I identify with masculinity because of the, you know, when I think of being a father and a husband and an entrepreneur and strong and certain and all these same views of, you know, what Glennon talks about with women's views, you know, this idea of what a man should be is strong, confident, certain, eager, authoritative, and often I feel like I'm pretending in those areas, right? I'm trying to act that as opposed to be that, right? And I'm just, I don't know. I'm just going through the crap, man. I'm going through the, I have such a craving and desire to get to know the little boy inside of me, the teen, the rebellious teen, the manager, the do-gooder, you know, all those different parts of me, to see, to really just give attention to those areas that are craving, acceptance and love and care, and to be told that we ain't going nowhere, so I can work through that stuff, so I can be more of who I am called to be, meant to be in my purest form. So I can be that for my son, I can be that for my wife, and I can set my next generations up, i.e. Austin and the people around me, to carry the baton. And most of the time I feel like I'm failing miserably, but I guess the truth be told, this is what it looks like. This is what this podcast is about. This is what these conversations are about, is most of the time I'm feeling like I'm doing a terrible job, like I'm screwing it all up, but I think that is more human than what I think the opposite is, which is you should always know what you're doing. Like, everyone else's process in life looks prettier than mine, and I know that's just untrue. Anyway, that's just some of my updates. I feel like it's pretty deep, pretty intimate. Some neat things going on, and also some tough things going on. I just want to encourage you to dig and to do and to try to model your mental wellness journey like a physical wellness journey. Is what I mean by that is, why don't our mental wellness journeys look and mirror what a physical wellness journey looks like? In other words, 5 to 15 hours a week of things you do for your mental wellness: prayer, journal, meditation, counseling, coaching, reading, support groups, conversations with people outside of your inner circle, trying to get intimate and dig deep and to do the hard work that is necessary to figure out, why is it that we don't feel enough, that we feel restless, irritable, and discontent, that we feel depressed or anxious, or, you know, whatever your version is. I just want to encourage you to do that. And I also want to encourage you that if you know someone that needs to hear this podcast or needs to hear this episode or benefit from it, make sure you share it with them. I love you. I miss you. And yeah, Talk soon. Holler at your boy, Gia.